I've heard of podcast hosts who are trying to find a quiet place and they're in a hotel and they record with a little hand mic in their closet so it's quiet. That is not the way I'm choosing to do this. So I would say the very first hack is hire people who do what you need to get done for a living and keep your day job.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to The Pop. That's the podcast on podcasting. I'm your host, Adam, AAA Adams, and I'm stoked because I've got Eric Brotman on the show. Eric Brotman is from BFG Financial Advisors. He's the CEO, and he's the president of Brotman Consulting Group. You can find him at bfgfa.com. That is in the show notes, don't worry. And brotmanmedia.com. That's how you can find him. He's authored many books and ebooks as well. Additionally, he is the author of Don't Retire, Graduate. And he's also the host of the podcast called Don't Retire, Graduate. And so that's Eric Brotman in a nutshell. Eric, I'm just going to jump in and ask you, who is it in your business that you serve and what's your unique sauce? How do you serve them?
We serve families across the United States, most of them multi-generational. And, you know, we believe in financial planning for all. So we've built resources to meet people where they are financially in the same way that a school would meet a student right where they are. So a typical client for us is somewhere between 40 and 60 years old. They've got parents getting older they're worried about. They've got kids to educate. They're busy humans, pre and during COVID, busy humans. And, you know, just trying to get a handle on all the financial decisions and risk management decisions and estate stuff. And they want a concierge. They want somebody just to sort of handle it, point them in the right direction and help them get done. So those are the folks we serve primarily. All families, not companies, although some of our clients are certainly business owners, but it's all families. I get much more satisfaction out of making grandma happy than the executive director of a board.
All right. So knowing that that's who you serve in your business, how does your podcast support your business?
The podcast, because it's driven by a mission, which is to help people understand that financial independence is a very good objective at any age, but retirement in its traditional sense is not a very good objective. It actually serves our business directly because the families we represent aren't only interested in the math. You know, this is not a relationship that's all about a math problem. It's about relationships. It's about people. It's about what's important and what means more than money and what you're leaving behind in terms of a legacy and in terms of stories and values. So we really look at this qualitatively in addition to quantitatively. And, you know, I've now retired dozens of individuals and couples across
the country. You've graduated them.
I've graduated them. They have graduated with honors. I would
sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine. You're absolutely right. And they have left the full-time employment and having almost 30 years of experience doing this, I've seen what I would refer to as successful and happy retirements and some that are less so. And that's why reframing it as a graduation is so positive. It's moving towards something. I've discovered over the years that there are three very simple secrets to the happiest retirees, which I'd be delighted to share with you.
You got me. I want them.
Perfect. The first secret is that financial independence piece. It's to have no debt or no adverse debt. It's one thing to finance a business or have leverage on real estate or other things, but you don't want consumer debt, student loans, car loans, all the nonsense that really will hamper you. And so the happiest retirees I know are either debt-free or they're really adverse debt-free and they're financially independent. The second thing is they have their health. So, you know, I tell people that it's important to maintain your health during your 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and not just suddenly think you're going to flip a switch like, oh, now I'm retired. It's time to hit the treadmill because it's very tough to change a lifestyle in retirement and suddenly get healthy, just like it's difficult to flip a switch and get wealthy. It's easier to stay there. So we tell folks, make sure you take care of yourself along the way. You're going to live longer than you realize, and you might as well enjoy it and be healthy. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is mission. It's a purpose. It's a reason to get out of bed every morning. Because the folks who work 60 hours a week and then all of a sudden are sitting on the couch and have no reason per se to get out of bed, no perceived purpose. And it doesn't have to be for money. It doesn't have to be consulting. It could be volunteering. But you have to be ready for that. Otherwise, it's daytime TV. And if you don't have a reason to get out of bed every morning, you're eventually going to sleep till 8 and then 9 and then 10 and 11. And what sounds glorious on a vacation in Cabo doesn't sound glorious for 30 years.
Perfect. Let me ask you, based on your experiences with the podcast, I really want to understand some of the challenges that you've overcome since you started. I guess I do need to know, you know, how many years have you had the podcast, or days or months or weeks have you had the podcast so far?
We are just starting our third season. So this is going to be the third year. And I confess that I started a podcast within 6 to 12 months of discovering what a podcast was.
Wow.
I had no idea what a podcast was. This is a universe that was completely foreign to me. And so I came to the table from a true novice standpoint.
So how many podcast episodes are you working to publish on a weekly basis?
Now we're doing one show a week.
So every week.
A show goes live every Thursday. Half of them are half-hour shows with guests who we interview, who can talk about either the path to financial independence or their own personal stories and experiences with it, which is great. And then the other half of the episodes are Q&A. We'll do an office hours, because I consider it with a school theme. You know, we always ask people for an extra credit assignment at the end of the episode because nobody likes homework, but everybody does the extra credit. You know that. And so on the office hours piece, I'm kind of like the TA, and we get questions from folks and we answer them, sometimes with a guest and sometimes solo in a monologue.
So based on that experience, just a quick answer, if you can, for this one, just how many episodes are you into the podcast so far?
About 80.
Okay, perfect. So with the last 2+ years, you're going into your third year of podcast episodes, about 80 episodes, and you're going to weekly. What challenges have you faced within podcasting? Maybe you didn't expect them. And how did you overcome them? Yeah, how did you get to where you are and have 80 episodes? Because a lot of people quit after 6.
Yeah, well, that's true. And how I got here was circuitous and accidental. I was at a FinCon conference in 2017 and really had no idea what I was doing there. But as a financial advisor, I understood that a relationship with the media was important. And I've been doing Sunday morning TV news on NBC in Baltimore for years. And it's never been something I've been able to monetize. So in this particular case, I would say in the very beginning, it was figuring out how this worked, and not just how to set up a small studio and what equipment to use, but how do you host a show? I'd never done it before. I'd been a guest on TV for 3 minutes, but I'd never put together a half hour of content. So I hired a number of different vendors. I did not try and do this myself. I hired a group called Interview Connections, who have been absolutely amazing. In fact, I still work with them. But when I hired them, they helped me create a show. They helped me create a one sheet for myself so that I'd be an attractive guest. And then they helped me get guesting opportunities. So I guested on probably 24 shows before I ever hosted one, because I wanted to know what it was like. Tell me what this is about. I could tell you the difference between a well-prepared host and a less prepared host. I could tell you, no pressure, Adam. I could tell you the difference between a show that was being really professionally engineered and one that was not. And so I sort of learned how to do it. And then the switch, when I flipped it and I started a show, the next challenge was figuring out who to interview. How do you get guests? And you know, now in our third year, we have a different problem, which is we have people contacting us who want a guest on the show and we're booked for 6 months. Like, we're going to have to go to twice a week at some point. The show is going to take on a life of its own. And quite frankly, while I don't want to quit my day job as a financial advisor, this is fun. I would gladly do more of it.
Love it. Thank you for the content, the advice using Interview Connections. I'll also put a link to Interview Connections in the show notes so that the listener can just jump down there and start getting booked on other people's podcasts. I think that's a great way to really learn how to be a good operator, to manage your own questions and answers, to just kind of feel what it feels like to be on the other end. I think if you're not on the other end, if you don't know what it feels like to be a guest, probably not going to be as good of a host. That's really effective. I appreciate that. And I loved how you talked about the process being more important than just simply having a microphone and a headset. You know what I mean? I think that you're right. We need to be able to think of it as kind of a business, being prepared and being ready for it. So the next question that I wanted to find out from you is, on your show, do you have guests on your show?
Yes.
Do you interview other people? So how do you find good guests? How do you reach out to good guests to be part of your show? Is it hard to find them? Is it easy to find them?
I think as a startup, it can be very tough to find them. And so when I first started, I interviewed people I knew just to create a couple of episodes so that another guest who might, or potential guest who might never have heard of us, would at least be able to hear some content, because you want to be able to understand the show you're going to guest on as well. I used interview connections for that also. So not only did they help me get spots guesting on other people's shows, they helped us book guests for ours. And that was incredibly helpful, because suddenly I was interviewing, you know, best-selling authors who I would have had otherwise no knowledge of, and they wouldn't have known me. And some very cool things happened. I mean, we had professors from the American College of Financial Services contact us, and we interviewed. I had Jean Chatsky from NBC's Today Show contact us, and she's now been a guest twice. So some very cool people have now sought us out. But it begins with having a little bit of content, having a couple episodes so somebody can hear that it's professional. You know, I thought hiring somebody to get us good guests was really helpful, and it helped us vet who those guests were. And, you know, like any host, if you're in your third season or your 23rd season, I imagine if you look back on the first one, you're going to laugh at yourself in some ways and say, wow, you know, I've come such a long way since then. I mean, we did a recorded intro and outro in the first year, and now we only use a recorded outro. And the intro is something that I do because I think it's much more personal, and I think it grips the listener a whole lot quicker than something pre-recorded. So some of it's been a learning experience for us too.
A lot of good stuff. Yeah, a lot of tangible, interesting things. Like, you're the first person that has come on this show and said that you intentionally no longer have a recorded intro. You have the intro at each one. I like that in a way. I'm not going to do it myself, to be clear, but I like it because you're able to jump into the episode a lot faster. And I do feel like there's some people that they have too long of a recorded intro. Like, it might be 30, 40, 60 seconds, because they're thinking to themselves when they're creating the script, they're thinking to themselves that they want to make sure that the listener knows every single degree that they have, all of this stuff. And really, the truth is, it's not so much about the host at all. It's more about the guest and what the guest is going to get. And it sounds like that's really where you're focusing, at least in the beginning of the episode, where you're jumping on, letting the listener know exactly what they're going to get out of the show today. And you're able to kind of bounce back and forth between some of the things that maybe you do. Just for example, like, you're in the financial services, and it's possible, I don't know, if you manage people's stocks. It is possible that you do. And if you did, and one of the episodes was more of around that topic, you could start out by saying, we've been doing this for 30 years experience, and we can help you, and you're going to learn a lot. And at the end of the episode, maybe you want to reach out to us about that. And there might be a different episode that has like a different twist of something else. You don't have to have like a 1 minute intro that's like, he does financial services, he does this one thing, he does bonds and stocks, and he graduated from this place with this degree and this other place with this other degree, and he got this other certificate. And they're like really seriously rolling their eyes as they're listening to all of that. Like, this person's pretty effing full of himself. You know, why does he have to say all this stuff every single time? I just want to get to the content. I saw the episode title, it looked good. And I'm 2 minutes in, and all I've had is an advertisement and a bunch of BS. So I like that. It's a pretty cool way that you've really stood out from some of the other podcasters, and perhaps stood out from other podcasters in your industry as well. I love it, even though I'm not going to personally do it. I think that the listener really ought to be thinking if that's going to help them or not. The next thing is just, I really want to get into some specific hacks that you've used, whether it's software that's automated or streamlined the process, or just this psychological trick that's helped you to become a little bit closer with your guest. Because when you have more of a relationship with your guest, obviously you're going to have put out better content together. So anything that you have, hacks, tools, techniques, softwares that make your job easier when podcasting?
That's a great question, but it's about a 7-part question. So I'll break it down a little bit. Yeah. First of all, from a technology standpoint, I'm a technophobe and I don't want to be a podcast host. I want to be a financial advisor who hosts a podcast. And so there's a fundamental difference in the way I approach this, that I love hosting the show, but I'm hosting the show to create some financial literacy and to create some financial outcomes for people and to grow our reputation and our business and those kinds of things. And so I hired producers. So we have executive producers now, and I hired a company called Produce Your Podcast, and they're amazing. So the engineer and I hop on the phone. We do 4 shows in a day and we'll record them in the same day. And then that's a month's worth of content. So I have 12 days where I record and I have 4 shows, 2 with guests. And I know I'm blocking out that time. And so I can be fully focused on the podcast for a half a day a month. And then I don't have to think about it. I'm not doing the editing. I'm not doing the production. I'm not doing, you know, we've got an amazing team of people here who put together the show notes and all the various things. And they make it sound spectacular. And what I need to do is choose and vet guests well, come up with good show topics to begin with, and then have a great conversation with somebody. And that's really the extent of my involvement. So my first hack would be, if you're in a position to do it, outsource the techie stuff, unless you love doing that. I've heard of podcast hosts who are trying to find a quiet place and they're in a hotel and they record with a little hand mic in their closet. So it's quiet. That is not the way I'm choosing to do this. So I would say the very first hack is hire people who do what you need to get done for a living and keep your day job. Unless this is going to be something you try and monetize as a full-time gig, which most podcasters never will, some will, most won't, that means that you shouldn't quit that day job. You should outsource. So that's number one. Parts 2 through 7 of that question are already eluding me, Adam. I know that there was a piece about, you know, you talked about the technology, but you also talked about how to hack and do a great show. And I think it really comes down to knowing your guest and letting them be great. If you let your guest shine, I think that is the very best thing that you can do as a host, is to have the guest excited to share the content, because their audience may very well be bigger than yours as the host, especially early on. You know, my first season, we were averaging 250 downloads an episode, which is not very many, but we had guests who had very large audiences, and we monetized in the sense that people contacted us and we wound up bringing in clients and creating ROI that we never could have with just our earbuds. And now, you know, now we're at about 10,000 downloads a month, which is progress. It's certainly not still where we want to be, but it's progress and it's growing and people have heard of it. That's neat. Now we have guests seeking us out saying, I really love your show. What do I need to do to get on it? Which is really kind of, it's kind of funny.
Love that. And was there any part, maybe a software that you use that does make scheduling or any part of the system easier as well?
I use something called IPDTL, which is a software for internet protocol transference of this data, of the sound. And I use a Behringer and I use a quality microphone and I built a small studio. I didn't spend a lot of money, but I built a small studio in my office, put soundproofing on the walls and did some things just to make sure that I had good content. And so I've done the little things that I could do, but to suggest that there's a professional audio board here, there's not.
Got it. Perfect. So I got a couple of things. The first two things that you mentioned are really, really good. Number one, you basically are saying outsource if you can. If you have the means and the ability, you're a financial advisor first and foremost. That's what you want to be. You don't want to be a podcast editor and a publisher and all of these other things. You've been able to hire companies that do those things. They do them well. And you focus on the lane that you're in. And I completely agree 100%. Most of the people listening, you're probably going to start by editing your own, because most of the people don't have the means to do that right off the bat, to be able to hire off. But for the minority, you have the means. You have plenty of capital. You can easily outsource these things for a couple of $100 an episode or less, usually, to be able to manage all of that stuff. And so I love that. Outsourcing so you can stay in your lane, so you can be the part that you are. You get on a call with the engineer and you record 4 episodes and you get off and you do that twice a month and you're done.
Once a month.
Once a month.
We record for 4 hours a month. I take one Friday morning a month and I'm in the studio, and that's what I do that day. And I don't have to think about, you know, flitting back and forth between all these different responsibilities. That morning is podcast morning and I'm ready to go.
Perfect.
That allows me to be really focused and really in tune with what's happening. And I prep for it. I listen to shows that my guests have done, or I listen to or read some of their content, and I know them enough to do that. And then I do a little pre-show chat just to make sure that they're feeling good. Then we go, and I try and make it easy on them. This isn't journalism in the sense that I'm trying to get a zinger here. I really want to promote them and have us all grow together.
And you mentioned that as the second thing is just really helping to let your guests shine, being really critical. I think that's really important. I would say there's a couple kinds of podcasters. Let's call it three kinds of podcasters. The one who definitely has an agenda, who wants to have the podcast, host the podcast. It doesn't matter what the guest says. It's their agenda that matters. And they kind of neglect to let the guest shine. They kind of neglect that. And they want maybe to be the only person who shines. And then there's another one that only has scripted questions. And I have scripted questions, I'll be honest with the listener. It helps me to stay on track. I throw up about 5-6 questions that I know that my listener wants to know, or probably would ask Eric if they were in live with us too. And so I've got them in front of me, but I never have to ask those questions. I tend to ask them and then maybe dance around it a little bit, right? I would say that there's a lot of people that really are really good at really supporting the guest. Because when you have the guest feel good about whatever they did, whatever they shared on your podcast, if they feel like I crushed that interview, they're more likely to share that interview. Like if you let them shine, if you let them tell their story, they're going to feel like they were heard, like they were listened to, and that it was a good interview. They're more likely to share it. And your podcast is going to grow when you let your guests shine. So those two pieces are, I don't know what IPTDL is, I'll be honest with you. I'll have to look it up.
I don't either. I just know that we use it.
But advice that you have about outsourcing when you everything that you possibly can and letting the guest shine is brilliant. Really, really good information. And you also brought up another one in a roundabout way. Don't ask 7-part questions. That was brilliant too.
Sorry
ask
about
one
that.
Part questions, because it's so much easier for the guest to know what they're saying, know what they're replying to. And I do it. I ask them all the time, because it's fairly natural for human beings to be like, hey, what about this and this and this and this? But you got to understand that that's tough. And so I do struggle with it myself, as you already pointed out, which I'm totally fine letting my listener know that I'm not perfect at all. I'm just good, not perfect. But the point is, like, this is how I've helped myself to ask better questions, is while you're talking, if something comes into my mind, instead of me like not listening to you, I hurry and write that question down in my chat box or whatever, so I can be queued up. And then I'll try to ask the direct question by kind of reading that one later on, so it's a little bit easier. So all lots of good advice, even when it wasn't intentional, Eric, I appreciate it.
Sorry about that. That was not a dig, I swear.
No. Hey, it's cool. So right now, today, you've grown your podcast where you're doing about 4 episodes a month, and you're getting about 10,000 downloads a month on average. You want to grow it. What are you struggling with? Like, what is your current challenge with your podcast?
I think I have 2 current challenges. One is determining the direction I want to go from a monetization standpoint. We don't have a sponsor or any advertising yet, and I think we're almost at the point where we could be attractive to someone. So deciding whether I want to do that or not is sort of a binary option. You either do or you don't, and I haven't decided yet. The second thing is figuring out a way in an incredibly crowded space. I mean, not only are there 1 million podcasts, but so many of them are on personal finance, that having a message that's unique enough that you can develop a following really is critical. And I would like to think that because this is now a book and a workbook and an online course and this whole piece that's coming together, it's going to allow itself to take on a life of its own, because this is a way, without spending money on an online course, you can listen to a show and it's free. you know, so you can get some flavor of it. And there's ways to do it without spending money on a course or on a, even a book. So I'm hopeful that all of this will come together. We've created a Facebook page for the show. We've created a website, of course, for the show. It's got its own address. Like, there are ways to find the show directly and not just through Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or whatever. And, you know, determining the best way to reach a broader audience is probably what we're struggling with the most. I mean, I think we're a really well-kept secret. People really like the show, but first you've got to know it exists, and it's such a crowded space to be found.
I love that. Okay, so three things. You are growing. You're about in that place where it's time to start monetizing, and you're trying to figure out just the direction of monetizing, figuring out how to have that unique message. I'll say from my own perspective in talking with you, I think you have a unique message. I think don't retire, graduate is, it's a new way of thinking about, you know, that act. And I think that it resonates with people quickly. So maybe you still are working on that. But I think maybe the third thing that you said was just reaching a bigger or broader audience, because it sounds like you're talking about, you feel like it's the best kept secret. And from my experience with you on the show, the level of content that you've provided, even though I'm the one asking the questions, has been really good, even in the financial industry. So I think that that's going to happen. Facebook ads, all sorts of ads. We can talk offline on just, I can throw out some ideas for you just on show growth alone. That's something we love doing for other people, is just the promotion of the show. But I'll tell you just in brief, Eric, my favorite one is the private messaging campaign. So it depends on the team that you could put together, but it's helpful if you can do it as a third party, which that's how we do it because we're not you. But the most important part of the private message campaign is having someone reach out to people individually, because it gets way better results than paid advertising for some reason. Having them reach out one-on-one. And I think if people were doing that from your team, like some virtual assistants or whatever, that would probably put you in front of those exact audiences that you were looking for, because you can target them, have the private message campaign set up. And I think that would grow you to easily to 20, 25,000 downloads per month, almost immediately, based on what you guys are doing. So good luck on figuring out the direction for monetization. I think it would be tough for a podcast like yours. When you have financial services, obviously other financial services, they want to be on, in front of your list, but you don't necessarily want them. So you're going to have to find somebody, it sounds like, that serves your audience, but doesn't do what you do. So it's not conflicting. So best of luck with those three things. And any parting advice that you'd like to share to new podcasters or podcasters that have been doing it for a couple of years, but they're just not really getting the results yet?
For new podcasters, what I would say is don't wait until you've got something that you think is perfect. Just start, because you will get better at this and you will laugh at your former self, and it's okay. So just take the step, take the leap, and begin. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be authentic. For more seasoned folks, what I'd say is stick with it. I know too many people who quit in what could be 3 or 6 or 9 months before it really pops. And I really think once you get started, there's momentum. It's like pushing a boulder up a hill. And the moment you release, the boulder crushes everything in its path. So don't do that. Between those two things, getting started, being authentic, and that's for new folks. And then don't stop pushing this boulder uphill, because it does pick up momentum. And that's all we're looking to do when we create something.
Awesome. I really appreciate it. And to the listener, if you're looking to grow your show, go to growyourshow.com. I'd be happy to help you start or launch a podcast. Or if you have already got one, I'd be happy to support you in the marketing or the post-production. Thank you for coming on, Eric. Both of your links are in the show notes. Is that the best way for the listener to find you and get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, we're all over social media, but brotmanmedia.com is a way to find the book and the firm. You can also check out our messaging at financialplanningforall.com, which is a way to get some resources. There are some free resources available, and you can really get a sense of what financial planning is and how it might help you. And it doesn't necessarily involve spending money.
Yep. Thank you, Eric. Thank you. I appreciate you coming on. So if you're listening to this show, you'll be able to find his show. It is Don't Retire, graduate. Thanks, Eric. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Adam. It's great being here.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.